Oh, yeah, this morning I was preaching, and I for once ever, I kind of felt cold. And I was like, huh, yeah. I thought, man, that means, yeah, that's right, that's what I thought. I was like, if I feel cold, people must be freezing in here. Oh. And then Alan asked me afterwards, he's like, was the heater on? I heard some people complaining it was too cold. It's like, I don't think so. Yeah, once you turn it on, it gets very hot. Yep. All right. The other announcement is Bible conference. It's after the Valentine's banquet that week. It's February 21st through 25th. And I think we'll do it 7 o'clock in the evening. I thought about 6, but I think that's a little bit close to people's. Yeah, and then Betty suggested 6:30. I don't know. Yeah, 7 seems to be okay. So, yeah. All right, so that's happening. I think that's all the announcements. I forgot to mention this morning, we are in need of some nursery workers, so we need some help. Third Sunday, 11 o'clock. Yes, Shirley. No. I talked to Tina over there a couple weeks ago, and she thought there was going to be a change in policy where we could actually have vendors in there, and then they'd that same day that she said no, they said we can't do it. So anyhow, yeah, that's been nixed. So, but she actually called. She was like, y'all were the first ones I thought about to call. So so we're on the list there whenever things change. So all right, Genesis, before we leave Genesis 28, we're gonna get one more thought out of it here. Jacob's deal with God. And when I mean deal with God, I mean he tries to make a deal with God. And yeah, people try to make vows. I'll show you some verses about all this, but yeah, it is. It's like a negotiation. Yeah. And the thing with Jacob is, when you read this, he's already got the blessings. I mean, he's already got, God's already going to give him the blessings. And so, it doesn't really, it's just typical of Jacob. He's just like a deal maker. He just wants to make a deal, you know. He's just that guy. Genesis 28. In verse 20, so after he dreams and sees the ladder going up to heaven and all that going on, and just a you know, life-changing event here at Bethel, he says in verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's kind of like the classic Lord, if you give me the winning lottery ticket, then I'm gonna give you a little something to, you know, just a little appreciation there. And it starts off, you know, Jacob vows a vow. He says, well, Lord, if you do all this for me, then you'll be my God, and then I will, you know, I'll pay you back for it. And he says all that, having already been given blessings, having already been promised what God's gonna promise. And so, just a real simple thought this evening. I want to show you some of these vows that show up in the Bible. or at least talk about them. But let's pray, and then we'll talk about Jacob's deal making here. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. I thank you for your words. I thank you for this time together. I pray that you would help us learn the Bible, guide us through the scriptures, help us make the applications that need to be made. And again, thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the food that will be eaten this evening. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I mentioned the food, so we got that covered. So. Oh, man. You know, I remember, so this whole story reminds me of people who have come to church here, people who went to church in Corpus where I used to be. And sometimes folks come to church with the idea, it's not necessarily to learn anything, it's that something has gone on in life, and it's almost like, well, Lord, I'm gonna like do this so that you'll give me something back to make my life a little bit better, or you'll make my marriage work. So I'm gonna show up a few times, and hopefully you'll give me back what I need. It's almost like a deal. And they're not really interested in learning Bible. They're not really interested in the Word of God. It's more like, I'm going to negotiate something with God. I'm going to show my good effort toward God and expect Him to show His good effort toward me now. And so I'm thinking of some specific folks, and it's none of y'all. So it's not who we're talking about. Yeah, woo! Thank you. There we go. But I remember. Some folks come in, and this is years ago, and it was, I remember the guy, he wanted to have a Bible study at the house. I mean, he would periodically come on Sunday morning, but he wouldn't make any of the other services, and then he'd want to have more a Saturday Bible study or something. And I told him, I said, well, just start making all the services, and then if you don't get enough out of that, then we'll do something different. I'll add something to it, but if you can't make the time to show up when dinner's being fed, then we're not gonna like just make these special times for you. Plus, I didn't really think that he had a real interest in Bible study. He was trying to get his family fixed. And so he thought, you know, if I just show this effort to God that I want to be religious for this time, then God will fix my family. And that didn't work, of course. It doesn't work that way. And so these deals that people try to make with God, Jacob tries to make this deal, and just he places these conditions on God that God's already said, I'm already going to bless you. I'm already going to, you're, with you resides the promise there. And he says, well, if God, if you'll keep me, if you'll feed me, if you'll clothe me, if you'll bring me back home in peace, remember, because he's just tricked Isaac and Esau out of this blessing. And so he's not on good terms with his brother, and his brother hates him. And so Jacob tries to, he wants to remedy and have this thing fixed. And so he typically, just like Jacob does, he tries to make a deal here. And if you read on, what's interesting about Jacob's life is all of these things that Jacob gives as conditions to God, they all end up happening. The Lord does everything that Jacob said, well, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, all of that happens in Jacob's life. Can you guess what Jacob does with his end of the bargain? He doesn't do anything with it. It's just a sort of a spur of the moment, fix it now, I need it fixed now. And so by all accounts, I mean, maybe you can find it, I can't find it here, But Jacob, all of this stuff happens for Jacob. He ends up being able to go home in peace. Esau doesn't treat him like he thinks Esau's going to treat him. And so this stuff works out, but Jacob never really fulfills his end of the bargain. And so it shows you something about human nature. It really shows you something about a very, very shallow relationship with, and really it's not even a relationship with God. It's more like it's just a relationship with a casino worker or something. It's not even a relation. It's just like, I'm going to give you these chips, and we're going to roll the wheel, and we're going to see if this works out. And if it works out, then I'll win, and you know, all that kind of stuff. It's not even a real relationship with God. So all this stuff happens with Jacob. He doesn't seem to ever do what he said he was going to do. But it's one of those things that when you think about your relationship with God or people's relationship with God, the Lord doesn't, to negotiate with God, it's you understand, God doesn't need really anything that you have. And he doesn't really need anything that you're going to offer him. And so you're not really in a position to negotiate with God, because he doesn't need anything from you. And so your best negotiation with God, you find it all through the Bible, your best approach to God is not to bargain, but humility. It's to say, I am in need, I need help, and Lord, if I don't get help from you, I won't get help. And that's the best approach all through the Bible. And so I think about this, and that's kind of the jumping off point. I'm not going to go too much longer, but there's a few other vows that people make in the Bible, and I'm just curious, can any of you guys think of a very foolish vow that gets made in the Bible? Jephthah. There's a guy named Jephthah in Judges. And Jephthah makes this deal with God. And it's almost like Jacob's deal. Like if he is going to win this battle. And so he's already got God's word on this thing. And it's weird because Jephthah's a really smart guy. And he has God's word on this. But for some reason, he makes this deal with God and says, well, Lord, if you'll help me win this fight with the, I don't know if it's Philistines or Ammonites, maybe, I think it's Ammonites. If you'll help me win this battle, and he's led through other battles too. Jephthah's that has led Israel through some other things. He's a judge. He's one of the judges. And he says, if you'll help me win this battle, I will give you the first thing that comes out of my house. And lo and behold, he wins. I mean, he is victorious in battle. And he comes home, and anybody remember what comes out of his house? His daughter comes out of the house. First one that comes out of the house. And by all accounts, He performs his vow. I mean, his daughter's life is not spared in this. And she mourns for, I think, a couple months. And then he performs the vow. And it's just the whole situation is terrible. It's ridiculous. And so people have a history of making, when they want to bargain with God, they just make dumb decisions. They just say stupid stuff. And they say stuff that's not true. I'm going to show you something. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This is a good cross-reference to this that deals with vowing and bargaining and this whole mentality, you know, well, God, if I do this and then you do this, or if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. It's like, well, God, he doesn't need anything from you, and you need to listen to him. Ecclesiastes 5, this is a good cross-reference to this. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You find the sacrifice of fools is a deal. It's a bargain. To give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. It's like, what in the world are you going to give God? What in the world are you going to offer him? Therefore, here it is. Therefore, let thy words be few. What's the point? The point is, listen. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and the fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. That was the foolish thing at the beginning there. He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. But here's the better situation. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? All those verses together, I mean, it just talks about somebody who's just running their mouth about, you know, I'm gonna do this for you, God. I want to do this for you, God. I want to do this for you, God. I'm gonna do this, and Lord, I'm gonna do this for you, and I want to do this for you, and make this. It's like, no. When you come to the house of God, he says, the better thing to do is listen. Listen. Don't come there with promises to make God and what I'm gonna do for you, God. It's you come and you put your ears on. They say, you know, listen. Hear him. Let's hear, because it's more important. The principle is simple. It's more important that you hear God than God hear you. It's more important that you listen to what God's saying than you tell God something. And so, going back with Jacob, with Jephthah, just a couple of examples where somebody thinks that if they say this to God, then somehow it tips the scale to their advantage, and somehow it convinces God when God sits up there in heaven and he thinks, you know what, that sounds like a pretty good deal there. That sounds like a pretty good deal there, Jacob, what you're saying. You know, maybe I should reconsider and give you all this stuff, and that way I can be your God. Oh, it's no, that's the Lord doesn't need Jacob to do anything. He doesn't need Jacob's rash promises. He doesn't need that stuff. He's already promised Jacob the blessings and the promises. He's already going to take care of Jacob. But it's just like this weird human condition that we think if we run our mouths and that somehow it's going to give us the advantage with God. And I don't know. The warnings are throughout here. It's just like, just listen. You need to hear God more than he needs to hear you. You need to listen to what he's saying. And I see that it's just like so. Oh man, we are very good. And this is a little bit off the subject, but it has to do with listening. We are very good at going to the Bible and finding what we want to find in the Bible. We are very bad at going to the Bible and just listening to God and let him say what he's saying. I inevitably get it. You can get different things from messages and stuff like that and all that kind of stuff. I remember, this is just an example, but I remember it wasn't here. It was, I think, in Corpus. But somebody coming up after a sermon or something, and they said, man, that was exactly what I need to hear. And then they told me what they got out of it. And I was like, where, I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, where does that come from? And I thought, I know where that comes from, because that's what you've been thinking about this whole time. That wasn't in the text, it wasn't in the sermon, it's just what's been on your mind. And so you didn't get what was actually in the text, you just got what was on your mind. And so it's we're very good at just shutting off God and finding it what we want, and making things say what we want them to say. Just like Jacob, he's gonna get God into a corner, and you know, he's gonna negotiate a deal, and God's gonna be good, and Jacob will then be good to God. And it's just like, no, none of that's gonna happen. God doesn't need what you have, Jacob. God's already made some promises, and he's gonna come through with those promises. But unfortunately, what you're going to be found is a liar, because you said you were going to do something and you didn't do it. And that's the unfortunate part. That's why Solomon said what he said in Ecclesiastes: better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Just keep your mouth shut about it. It's not wise to try to negotiate. Again, the best approach to God is just humility and just, Lord, I need help, I need help, I need help. And if I don't get help from you, I'm not going to get help. So before we leave that chapter in Genesis there, I don't know, I just wanted to show you Jacob, because it's very typical of Jacob, but it's also very typical of just the carnal mindset about God, that I can somehow negotiate a promise from God. I can hang this little carrot in front of God, and he'll say, that looks pretty good. I'll give you that, and you give me that. And that's how God is. He doesn't need you. He's not going to pay attention to your carrots that you dangle. He doesn't pay attention to that stuff. But that's the mindset of some people's relationship with God. That's the shallowness of it. That's Jacob. At this point in his life, anyway, I mean, he'll grow up a little bit later, but at this point in his life, that's what he thinks about God. And it's such a petty sort of understanding of who God is and what God's capable of and what God needs and what God doesn't need. And it's kind of crazy when you think about it, that someone would think they could just, they could tempt God into a deal. You know, we could just drag God into this deal, and God, if you give me $1 million, I'll give you 10%. It's like, I don't need your 10%. What are you talking about? It's crazy, but it's indicative. It really is indicative of a carnal sort of mindset, and it's not the right approach. What is the right approach to God? Well, here's the right approach. So don't just have a negative thing here. Here's the right approach. The right approach is to trust God. Just trust God. But before you trust God, you have to know what God said. So that's important, knowing what he said, so you know what to trust about God and know what you can trust, and so you can act in faith. Remember that whole, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if God didn't say it, it's not faith. It's just some imagination you conjured up. Faith is your response to what God said. It's trusting what God said. And that's the right response. Trust what God said. Approach him in humility. Approach him in that's what we are. We aren't anything before God. He doesn't need anything we have. In fact, we don't have anything without him. And that's the right view of it. So it's Jacob's deal with God. I didn't want to leave this chapter before we dealt with some of this. And there's some other examples in the Bible. Jephthah's a really good one. Ecclesiastes, like I showed you, Ecclesiastes 5 has some good stuff about trying to make a deal with God and just some of the foolishness that's bound up in that. But as we're going through Genesis, you get to know some of these folks and some of these people. And it's good to do that. You're going to get to know who you're dealing with and who you're reading about. So I hope that's helpful. And though brief, let's pray. And then we will go eat. Father, I thank you for this time again. I thank you for your words. I pray, I know this was a brief message, but to learn about what you honor and what you don't honor, and just a perspective about you from a carnal mind, I think can be helpful. Understand that we have that in us to think that we can pigeonhole you into something, and then you'll get us out, or you know, if we offer up this thing that's valuable to us, then you'll respond in this certain way or whatever it is. But I hope it really, really narrows down our relationship with you to trusting you, to approaching you in humility, and to listening, to really listen and pay attention and quit reading into things that we don't need to read into. And so I pray that you'd help us with this. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you again for the food that you provided for us. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.